So Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And if anyone should know how the world is supposed to work, it's Jesus. And John, in his gospel, in John chapter 1, he reminds us that he's got a handle on this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. He's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about Jesus, who is sometimes called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. And then he says this, through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And then he gives us these words. In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all of us, of all people. And the light shines in the darkness. Well, it's a beautiful description that says Jesus understands what life is all about. Well, I got thinking about that and thought about how often we can have preconceived ideas about Jesus and about the church and about scriptures over the years. And Jesus came along and tried to kind of put that down, put it on a level field so that everyone can really understand what he was all about. So going back into Matthew is sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And here what Jesus is doing, sometimes this has been called the greatest sermon ever told or preached or written about or shared. And Jesus is covering all the bases. But the difficulty that Jesus has in sharing any of this teaching is breaking through preconditioned religious thinking. And thank God we don't have any of that, right? So he's trying to share some thoughts of, here's what has been in the heart and mind of God always, and I want to share it with you. But the people that he's talking with are people who for centuries have been taught a certain way of believing and thinking. So even amongst our Jewish friends in this first century, we have the Pharisees, we have the Sadducees, we have the Zealots, we have the Essenes, we have all of these people, some who only believe in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, some believing in all of the prophets and all of it, but they all had their own way of thinking. And so near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this. Let me read this to you with the question in mind. When you hear this, when you've always heard this, what do you immediately think of? Please give an answer. Not out loud, just to yourself. So Jesus is wrapping up, and here's what he says. What have you always thought this means? Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. How have you thought about that? That there's just a few of us that get it. And thank God I'm part of that. Maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe you've never felt that way. What's he saying? And I think what John is doing all throughout his gospel and sometimes bringing us back, because remember, John is an older man when he writes the gospel of John, when he writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then he's banished to Patmos and he gets caught up in the apocalypse, the revelation. So for a period of maybe 10 years, he's a prolific writer and he's pouring all of this information to all of us saying, here is God in the flesh. Here is Jesus. That I think what John is suggesting in this gospel of what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7 is, there is a way of living that God has always wanted. And we come to Jesus with so many preconditioned ideas that we may never really understand who he is or what he's trying to say. Only a few people will really trust me, will really believe me, will really understand who I am and who I want to be for you. It's Christ inviting us to come into himself, to always lay ourselves open to Jesus, to say, teach me, show me your will, show me you, so I can be you in my own sense in this world today. And so John's gospel moves us in this direction. Jesus invites us to trust him. So today we're in John chapter 14, and he talks about trust. It seems to be always through here. He talks about him being the way, and he says, trust God, but trust also in me. It's to know that Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves, and that he loves us, and that he's giving us an opportunity to participate in something that can happen for each and every one of us. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to show you a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, sometimes called the love chapter in the Bible, Paul writes this, and toward the end, he says something that Jesus hints at all throughout his life, and it's beautiful. So at the end of this talk about love, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to start reading in verse 12. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. So he's talking about us, and he's saying one day at the end of our lives, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Won't that be cool? And then he says, now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now, John picks up on this in one of his letters in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Let me read that. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, he had a body that worked both on the earth and in heaven. He said, touch me, feel me. I'm not a ghost. See the hole? Feel that. Feel it. And then he said, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. Ghosts don't eat that I'm aware of. He was flesh and blood. And then all of a sudden, he could just walk through a door and appear with a group of people. Then he could ascend into heaven in bodily form. That when you and I find our last breath, but because of Christ, we're not some spiritual blob just kind of floating around. But there's purpose to each and every one of our lives. That who we are is not important, but important. That how we can live today is a vital part of our spiritual life. It's not just the sacraments, but our whole life as a living sacrament. And John doesn't separate the physical from the spiritual, nor did Jesus, nor does Jesus. But that who we are is vitally important before God because of who Jesus invites us to. And even today, I think only a few people will really understand how important each one of us is in the eyes of God. Someone says, well, the millions and millions and millions of people, and everyone is important. And he invites us to get to know him even more and more and more. So I just have a really brief lesson today. That's pretty well it. But I just want to share with you one last point that Paul talks about, which is really just an overflow of what Jesus talked about and an overflow of what John talks about. There's just two passages I want to finish up with. One is found in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. These are brilliant passages by the Apostle Paul, who wants to let us know how important we are in the mind of God. So in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, and we're going to notice two words: all things. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All things. Jesus represents God in all ways and in all things. Now watch what Paul does in saying, here's how God sees us. Watch. For by him, Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Now watch this. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth or things in heaven by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And the invitation that Jesus offers us is, come unto me, because I hold everything in my control, and you are with me. All things. All things. I'd say that's a fair amount of responsibility. But he invites us to participate in all of these things. And then the other passage is in Ephesians chapter 1, very brief passage. In Ephesians chapter 1, a couple of verses. In verse 4, he talks about us. For he chose us in him, even before the creation of the world. And then he says this in verses 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So the message is, Jesus has given his all for all. And that includes us. And he asks us to embrace that and him, but not only to embrace it, but to share this invitation for all people. He chose us even before he created the world. We're not just coincidence. We're not just chance. But that God pours out his life and heart into each one of our lives with the invitation to demonstrate what a new creation could look like. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you with an open heart and with an open mind. There's so much more about you we want to embrace. Thank you for doing so much already in our lives that none of us could do for ourselves. Thank you for continually providing opportunities for each one of us to not only embrace you, but to allow others to see you through us, by our words, by our helping, by our care. Thank you for elevating us to places we never dreamt or dream of. Help us to see the invitation that you give to each one of us. to be who you want us to be an enabler, not only to be a lover of you, but to love people and to love them to the extent that you have loved them. May we come alongside people who right now are grieving. May we come alongside people who are experiencing joy in their lives. May we be authentic, and may we be people who love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And all of God's people said,